All right, we're live from Church in the Park. If you're listening online, welcome, welcome. And our sermon recording quality probably won't be as good today, so sorry at the outset for that. Well, great to see you guys. I'll just pray, kind of get started. Father, I thank you for this time. I ask for your blessing to be upon this word that's shared, your blessing over everyone here, your blessing over everyone at the sound of my voice. Lord, you would release your presence upon this time, that your kingdom would come and your will would be done in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, turn with me to, I'll start like this. Turn with me to Psalms 31:1. 31:1, if you got your Bible with you, or if you've got an app. I think I saw a picture on Facebook earlier today of the Archbishop of Canterbury in a church service using his phone to find a scripture. I thought that was cute. Okay. Psalms 31:1. Who wants to read it for us? Maybe I should, for the sake of the recording, I guess. Bummer. Okay, I'll do it. In you, O Lord, I put my trust. Let me never be ashamed. Deliver me in your righteousness.
Amen.
Okay. Now just turn up the page, if you need to verse 14 of Psalms 31. But as for me, I trust in you, O Lord. I say, you are my God. Okay, let's just do one more. Psalms 30, just a few pages over to the right. Psalms 37, verses 3 through 6. And you can start to gather, it was not hard for me to find the places in Psalms that I could reference what I'm sharing here. Trust in the Lord and do good. Dwell in the land and feed on his faithfulness. Isn't that a powerful phrase? I've meditated on that for years. Feast on his faithfulness. Amen. His faithfulness is a spread in front of us to feast on. Taste and see that the Lord is good. Delight yourself also in the Lord, and he shall give you the desires of your heart. Commit your way to the Lord. Trust also in him, and he shall bring it to pass. He shall bring forth your righteousness as the light and your justice as the noonday. Yesterday, I was kind of freaking out. About as much as I ever freak out. I was having like an internal sort of meltdown. And I told, which is pretty abnormal for me, but I was feeling really overwhelmed, long story short. And I'll tell you why in a second. I got down on my knees. I said, Lord, help. And he said, make a list. I said, I won't dally. I got right up and made a list. I had 25 things or 20 things floating around in my head. And it happens that almost every one of these 20 things had to do with like a place without a reservation. We're going out west coming up here for 2 weeks. And you can't get reservations in Yellowstone. And you can't get reservations in Rocky Mountain National Park. And you can't get, you know, if I would have been way ahead of it, we could have. But so it's like we're going to go there and there's no reservation there and stuff like that. And just trying to figure all that out. We're coming here today to a place without a reservation. And anyway, so there was that. And then there are a lot of other things in my schedule that like, for some reason, normally I'm ahead of my schedule, a few weeks ahead. It's pretty clear what I'm doing, what and when. And there's a couple other unsettled things through no fault of my own, just unsettled, like they aren't finalized yet. They're just a day or two away and they're kind of significant, you know? So it's like, I was feeling very overwhelmed by all these things. Lord told me to make a list, made a huge difference, okay? I got in the car a few hours later to go get stuff from the church to prep Church in the Park. And I said, Lord, that was feeling pretty overwhelmed. I was just talking with God, you know? I said, I felt a lot better then. I had started to make progress on some of those things. The list helped get things out of my head and start working through the pieces one at a time, right? Good word. Isn't that awesome? Do you know that one of the most famous books on productivity, basically that's the nature of that book, is making a list. It's by the guy named David Allen. I've recommended it to many people. I've only read kind of the cliff notes of it, but basically he was consulting CEOs all over the place, and he found that all he ever did with them is help them make lists. And then they'd go on these retreats, these 3 and 4 days C-level retreats, like the CEO, the CFO, the COO. They'd go to these retreats. He said, Do you know what they would need 3 or 4 days for? A good idea? an innovative solution? Nope. He said they needed 3 or 4 days to get their brain uncluttered enough that they could have a good idea. Mm-hmm. He said, how long does a good idea take? Microseconds. Microseconds. But most of us have so much floating around in our head that we don't have enough mental energy to get a good idea. That's what was happening. I'm very opposite of that space. I normally have very clear mind, clear conscience, clear mind, happy heart, easy thinking, right? But here I was totally overwhelmed in my head. My conscience was good. It's not like I had like screwed something up or was feeling condemned or anything necessarily. It's just all like, whoa, this is like too many unknowns. The Lord tells me, make a list. I make a list. Okay, that's a side teaching for your benefit. Cast your cares upon the Lord sometimes means making a list. Serious. So make a list. So I make a list. A few hours later, I'm feeling much better. I'm in the car, and I told the Lord, man, Lord, I was overwhelmed. Okay? And that's another thing I like to do. I like to process things with the Lord. I said, man, Lord, I was overwhelmed. And then I heard the Lord say, that's how some of your people might feel about moving church buildings. And so what I want to do today is kind of shepherd the process of this move a little bit so that if you might at some point feel overwhelmed, that I've shepherded it as best I can, right? Some people thrive on change. I'm kind of one of those people, okay? Like, change for me is kind of fun. For some people, change is not fun, okay? And so I just recognize that for me, change is pretty, like, fun. For some people, it's not so fun. So I just want to kind of shepherd this process a little bit about the church building move. I just made some notes so I make sure I kind of follow up on the things I thought to share. So as you guys know, let me just kind of recap the process, some of which I've shared with you, some I have not. And then after I kind of go through this, I've got an activity for us to do in smaller groups, but that'll be time dependent, so we'll see. What have I been teaching on kind of the whole year? What is
church?
What is ecclesia? What is church? What is it? Right? The stupid questions, the simple questions. And sometimes we realize, oh, we don't quite have clarity on that. So I believe that the Lord's given me a vision for our church. I praise God for that. That was a baseball bat. Everything's okay, not a gunshot. It fell and hit the concrete. Okay. Thanks, Margie. So the Lord's given me this vision around ecclesia. What's it look like exactly? I've got some ideas, but you kind of just go with it as you go, okay? And during that process, here the Lord's having me speak about ecclesia, I believe. I'm talking about ecclesia. I'm talking about, I don't know if you say ecclesia or ecclesia, so I'll just say either way. I'm talking about it. What is church? What is church? And then lo and behold, we need to move our church building. Through no decision of our own, we've been renting. It's not available anymore. We can't do Sunday service, so we need to get a new space. And part of the process there was in late April or so, I found out that the church was going to be being sold. So it kind of like alerted me to, this might be something, right? But you don't know. Late May, I had a meeting with the pastor of the new church coming in, the pastor of the existing church. And that's where it became clear, okay, yeah, we would be the third church needing to meet on a Sunday morning that only has 4 hours to meet in it. So we don't have Sunday service anymore, basically, if we stay. So we're going to need to move. So that was late May, early June, and what I was kind of doing during that time is communicating with our board, who helps in all those sorts of decisions. And by the way, there's wisdom in the abundance of counselors. I'm just taking little sidebar teachings, if that's okay. Yeah. Some things you get from the Lord, other things He wants you to get together. And if you don't know which is which, you can actually kind of screw yourself up. For instance, when I'm going to meet with the board about a decision like this, do you know that I kind of make it a point I don't ask God what His will is before the meeting? I pray before the meeting. I'm not saying I don't pray. I'm saying I don't ask God for His word on tell me what to do. Why would He tell me what to do? I have a board to make these decisions. Do you see what I'm saying? He said there's wisdom in the abundance of counselors. There's not wisdom in me getting the word of the Lord so I can tell the counselors what they were supposed to counsel me about. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Do you see that nuance?
Yeah.
Okay. Now, So late May, I start looking for some spaces. To be honest, what I was looking for our church, and I'm just bringing you and everybody that'll listen later sort of up to speed, I think it'll be helpful for you. I originally kind of thought we would do an event space, to be honest, because we only need it twice a month with our current model. Theoretically, it's like house church every other time, and wouldn't you just get an event space? Like, I don't know, a school auditorium, or there was this event space at one of the metro parks that was kind of interesting, although it was way out past 270, so maybe not so good. And so we looked at some event space options. Over time, it just didn't have the peace of the Lord on it. It didn't feel quite like a blessing totally. It felt more like, to be honest, kind of more like the intellect of me and less like the idea of God. Okay? You guys know how it feels when you fall into God's leading and you're like, this is better than I could have come up with. Mm-hmm. This is like, it's good there, it's good there, it's good there, it's good there. And when I look at it from the other side, it's even better yet. Do you know what I'm saying? When you come up with your own ideas, you're like good on two of the points, and then there's three cons, there's two pros, and there's three cons, and there's this other thing that doesn't make sense, you know, and all that. That's like my thinking. God's thinking is like when you slip into something and it's like, wow, this is so good. And so early June, I felt that, you know, where it just felt like, man, these aren't quite computing. But I felt some pressure. I mean, I was trying to be diligent for our church body. I'm like, pretty soon, I don't know when it's going to be, we're not going to have Sunday services at the church anymore. I would like to have a place to meet at, you know. So I was just trying to be diligent and kind of, in a way, keep, not allow inertia to develop and kind of just keep the ball rolling on thinking of options, sending stuff to the board, getting feedback, that sort of thing. June 4th, the night of June 3rd or June 4th, I forget which it was, I prayed by the side of my bed. And right now our bed's on the floor. We're remodeling our bedroom, and so we put the other bed in the other place. Megan's waiting for me to make a bed out of cherry. And so anyway, I pray next to my bed, which is not much higher than the floor right now. And I pray, and I say, Lord, I receive your grace for a church building. That was the prayer. And I think I prayed that because I felt like I heard the Lord early that day say, would you like to receive my grace for this building? Mm-hmm. And I said, yes. So I thought, you know what? I think he just told me how to pray. So I said, Lord, I receive your grace. Remember, grace is God's ability or willingness to use his ability and power on our behalf. So I'd like his resources as it relates to the church building for our church. So I prayed that night. The next day, I think it was, I was consulting for a school. And in the middle of this project-based learning consulting I was doing, I get a text from Joshua Weir, who was our first pastor. And he said, hey, do you guys need a church building? Yeah. I said, yes, exclamation point. He said, I've got the perfect place for you. Now, to be honest, there's some people that would write that they have the perfect place, and I'd take it maybe with a grain of salt and be like, who knows, it could be, but it very well might not be. Joshua pastored for years. He knows our needs really well. He knows me really well, and he's in real estate business. So if he says he's got the perfect place, I'm thinking, this really might be a good place. I said, great, tell me about it. And he said, all right, I'm going to connect you with my friend Daniel. You guys set it up. So I connect with Daniel, and I go there sight unseen with Brad. Turns out Brad's been there before to meet with Daniel. And it's a place called The Wave. And I think I mentioned to you the other day, the other service 2 weeks ago, that we have a place that we're seriously considering, and that's this place. Guys, when we went there the first time, it didn't feel like it was compatible with the vision the Lord's given me for church with Ecclesia. It felt like it was catalytic to that. The difference between a compatible location, which I can come up with my intellect, and a catalytic location, which was like, I would have never thought of this sort of space. This is really neat. Okay? So anyway, I believe that I've had the lead of the Lord. We've had the lead of the Lord as a board kind of working through this process. Now, it doesn't mean we've totally finalized this space. There's a couple things that we'd like to do yet. And by the way, the Lord gave me this revelation Friday. I'll just share it with you guys. I think it'd be good about having the lead of the Lord. The Lord was telling me, he said, he was encouraging me in my leadership, right? I'm just being vulnerable. He's saying, lead, lead, right? I'm like, okay. And then he asked me this. He said, why were you more comfortable leading before you were a believer than now? Like more aggressive in your leadership, more assertive in your leadership before you were a believer than you are now. And I said, and I lead now, but he reminded me, I mean, I was in college speaking in front of 200 people and, you know, going for it. And so about mountaineering. So I was doing that, and I said, "Well, Lord, you know, I want to have your lead on things." And then the Lord asked me, he said, "Do you believe that I'll lead you clearly?" He said, "Because if you believe I'll lead you clearly, you will lead assertively."
So good, Peter.
Now, I see this sign. The Lord speaks to me through visuals a lot. And all I can tell you is something will jump out at me, and I know it's the Spirit of the Lord from experience speaking to me through a thing. I see this wonky sign. I mean, it's on like a piece of cardboard, and it's got an arrow, and the arrow's pointing like nowhere. It's all like screwed up. This arrow's like pointing all sorts of places. And the Lord draws my attention to it right after I just had this conversation with him. I'm talking milliseconds later. There's a sign looking like this. I'm like, huh. I drive a quarter mile or something, and there's the same sign now with a clear arrow pointing to a clear direction. And I'm like, I think I might be getting something here. And then there's a person standing at the next corner with a sign with a clear arrow pointing that direction, the person holding the sign. And the Lord said, my leading is so clear, you can't miss it. It went from a confusing sign to a clear sign to a clear, like, flashing sign that someone's holding saying, in here. Sometimes we're trying to get the lead of the Lord in the faintest inklings, and we don't know what he's saying when it's still a faint inkling. And the reason you don't is because you haven't kept walking it out. But if you keep walking it out, the leading will get clearer and clearer. And then the Lord spoke to me. He said, Peter, what's the standard of what you have to do in order to have my lead?
Just follow the sign.
Follow the sign. I love it. Here's the standard. He said, the scriptural standard for you to have my lead on anything in your life is simply for you to acknowledge me. In all your ways, acknowledge him, and he will do what? Make straight your paths. We think it's in all your ways, go through an in-depth, crazy, deep thought process with the Lord, seek out deep revelation, all this sort of thing. We sometimes think it's that complicated. He's saying, I will lead you in straight paths if you only open the door for me. In all your ways, acknowledge him. Thank you, Father, that you're with me in this, and keep walking. Keep driving. It will become clear. You can't miss it. You can't miss it. What did I do? Lord, I said, I receive your grace. What's the next day? Hey, do you need a church place? Yes. Wow. Do you get what I'm saying?
Amen.
Yesterday afternoon, one of the things I needed help with, you can't reserve these sites here for more than an hour and all this sort of thing. So I started thinking, if I'm getting here at 7, that's a long time until 10. It'd be nice to have someone join me so I could kind of claim that our group's here. Minutes later, Brad texts. Minutes. Hey, wonder if I could meet you early. We could hang out. Isn't that awesome? So I'm saying this scriptural standard for God's leadership in your life, what are you speaking to me, is just acknowledge him. Just open the door into that situation. He will lead you. He will lead you. You can be assertive in your leadership in the Lord, but we of all people should be much more assertive in where we're going because we're going with him. Okay? So anyway, the reason I read those verses on trust to begin with, guys, is our trust is in a person. His name is Jesus. Our trust is not in a building, place, or thing. I'm serious. So even if this place doesn't work out, he's going to lead us.
Thank you.
He's going to lead us. He's going to lead us. Our trust is in him. If we feel overwhelmed, our trust is shifted into something else.
Yeah.
It's don't be condemned. Just shift your trust back into the Lord. Trust in him. Okay? All right. Now, here's where we're at in the process. I feel like there's basically two more things that the board and I feel like we need to do. One, Brad and I are going to meet with them to still work out some of the logistics. There's just some logistics. You know, anytime you're setting up an arrangement, you kind of have an initial conversation, and then you kind of think about what your needs are. They can think about what their needs are, and you can kind of come back together and kind of work out, see if you come up with something that works for everybody. So we need to do that still.
Because we'll be sharing it.
I need to explain the space a little bit more. This space is, the people that run this space, is their ministry is called The Wave. And two great men of God, one's name is Danny Ortiz, and the other is Michael Redd, who you might know because he was a pretty famous basketball player for OSU, and then he played in the NBA. So those two guys run this ministry, and they have a couple different facets of it, but basically it's a business incubator for Christian business people. And they train up Christian business people with the idea that the kingdom in business is really good to get the kingdom into business, right? Because obviously you guys know we've had a problem in the church for many, many years. That person's anointed for leadership. Quick, make them a pastor. What if they were anointed for leadership in the business sphere and they were going to pastor 50 people that work for them? Can I share about your experience?
Sure.
Brad only ever started businesses for one reason. To make money.
Absolutely.
But I think he only ever had two people out of what? Like 500 that worked for you?
Yeah.
Two people that ever came to him to work for him that were saved? And he only ever had two people that left after working with him that weren't saved.
Right. Hallelujah.
Do you know what churches would spend to lead 496 people to the Lord? I'm just being really plain with you guys. Do you know what a church would spend to lead 490? Like the initiative that you do for 496 people led to the Lord? I mean, that's a huge initiative for a church to accomplish. Brad just did it in business. Do you know how? He was a godly businessman seeking to run a business with excellence who also carried the leaven of the kingdom on the inside of him. So everybody who gets around him is going to get the kingdom, is going to get the gospel message, is going to get the ways of the kingdom. And the business is going to be run so well, they're going to kind of wonder, what is the deal with this guy? How does he run businesses like this? You know, like I've had an education. Where did you get that stuff from? Like the fruit's striking enough that they ask about the root. You know, and then you just tell them. You tell them, you minister to them. So anyway, so they run this business space called The Wave. And basically they were thinking of moving from what I understand, but then they realized that actually the space still fits our needs perfectly. And so we, when they were thinking of moving, when we first met with them, we thought we were going to just kind of do exactly what they're doing. They have the space, they call it a co-working space. Has anybody heard of a co-working space? Okay, a co-working space is basically... Think like the basic gist is this. They predict that half of millennials are going to be self-employed. There's a huge shift going on in the marketplace. Half of millennials, my generation or a little younger than me, are going to be self-employed. The biggest thing millennials are looking for is connection. When you're self-employed, you work by yourself. But they want what?
Connection.
In comes a brand new market sector. What's the new market sector? Co-working spaces. Why do people cram up in Starbucks? To have a place to work. If you've worked from home, you know there's only so many hours you can productively work from home any given day. And you know that some days you wake up and you're thinking, if I leave in the next 30 minutes and go to Starbucks, I will be working productively by 7:30. If I stay at home, I will not work until 9 o'clock. Because I'll lounge and eat and then check Facebook and then do... There's something about going to work. That sometimes it's really nice to be able to work from home, but sometimes really nice to have a place to work that's not home. So co-working spaces are our new market sector. If you haven't heard of them, you're going to hear of them. Because there's only so long you want to meet at Starbucks over and over and not have a seat and maybe have loud, odd music playing or hear the same 37 kind of Christmas songs in a row from the month of October until the month of December, right? So there's just a lot of reasons people aren't going to want to always go to Starbucks. So enter these co-working spaces. In a co-working space, people pay a monthly fee to have access to the space or to have their own desk or to have their own office, etc. Make sense?
Mm-hmm.
That's what they have. They have a co-working space. It's really beautiful. It's kind of a long space, about 120 feet long. Probably 25 feet wide, so it's kind of long and narrow. They've got a conference room, a lot of desks, nice desks and tables to sit at. They've got couches, comfy chairs, and a little stage because they have their Sunday services on Saturday night there, I think, because they have a little ministry that they run as part of that. So here's the point. They aren't going to move. They're going to stay. But then to our delight, they said, well, what if you guys could use the space too? Because they really feel a partnership with us. They want to bless us and help us and all that sort of thing. They're kingdom-minded guys, okay? So anyway, that's what we're looking at, potentially partnering with them, sharing the space with them, where we'd have the space Sunday morning, maybe one night a week or maybe more, I don't know. And maybe some people here would even want to use the co-working space a little bit during the week you know, where it could be a thing where I'm working there on ed consulting or pastoring sort of stuff, and Brenda pops in because she uses it in an office space sometimes, or Andy pops in, or Brian pops in, or whoever, right? And it'd be kind of fun to cross paths in our business lives, right? Which is all the same life. Okay, is that clear mm-hmm. what the space is? I thought about printing pictures of the space, but I kind of want you to be surprised because next Sunday, August 5th, we're doing church service there.
Wow.
So,
just a test run.
Yes. So here's the goal is that there's two things, like I said, we felt like we wanted to do. The first thing we wanted to do is make sure we could kind of work out the details with the wave, obviously. Second thing we wanted to do, we thought it would be really prudent to do a test run at the place. Brad called me up. He said, what would you think of doing a test run? And we both felt the same way. The board felt the same way. Really, it would be disappointing to go there and do a test run and find that it's totally untenable for us. But it would be really good to find out that it was totally untenable for us before we signed a contract. Right? So we just want to do a test run there next Sunday, August 5th. We'll do normal service, 11:30 a.m., but it's going to be there. Now, here's the trick. Here's the trick. In doing... Yeah,
they're not shocked by it when they get there.
It's narrow. It's 25 feet wide. It's actually about as wide as this thing is here.
Maybe even a little less.
Okay, it's really long and narrow. Okay, for the children's church, there's a huge space attached to it. I'm talking about football field size, almost. Maybe not quite that big. That the kids will get to run around in for children's church.
So kids will have plenty of room. Adults not so much.
Yes. And there's two ways that can go with adults. Sometimes it can feel cramped, like you couldn't invite someone. But the other time, sometimes it can feel really exciting because you're close to people.
Yeah.
You're also going to notice that chairs are not going to be in rows. It's not the sort of space that it is. Now, I'm from the education background, and I actually keep seeing how the Lord's given me insight in education that I believe he's wanting to transfer into the church sphere. So you're going to hear more of this. But do you know that the reason that chairs are in rows in schools is to approximate industrial assembly line conditions?
Right. I believe it. I totally believe it.
To prepare kids for assembly lines. Yeah. Well, it helps for practical purposes. For certain things, rows work really well, like lecture. Right? And for kids not talking with each other. Right?
Yeah.
Which can sometimes be very helpful. But what's interesting is there's nothing that says you need to put chairs in rows. Okay? And in fact, if you put chairs in rows, you can guarantee something that won't happen. People won't talk to each other. Which, if you want to teach a silent sermon where you're the only one speaking, that can work really well. And there's a place for that. But there's also a place for some other sorts of things. So part of moving and trying out this space is I believe that there's some ways that we can even do our main services that are sometimes a little different as it relates to the sermon and things that might actually produce more fruit.
Yeah.
As a teacher and a former administrator, do you know what you do with a teacher who only lectures? You fire them. Right? Think about a teacher that only lectures. You probably had some. Mm-hmm. Only ever lectures. It's ineffective. As a singular instructional method. What do they need to do? They need to have some student projects and things, don't they? The kids need to do some work. The teacher just can't talk to them the entire time. There's a place for lecture and there's a place for student work, right? Unfortunately, in the church, I'm not being critical at all. Hopefully, I'm not blowing you guys out of the water. I live this education stuff. In the church, typically, what's the only thing that's done in a Sunday service?
Lecture.
We know that's an ineffective instructional technique on its own.
Mm-hmm.
When you only do that, what do you retain from a lecture? Maybe the one thing you wrote down that really stood out to you, or if you're a really good student and you listen to it again, you'll retain a lot more. If you listen to it a third time, you retain a lot more. So there's a place for it. But it's not the primary or only way to teach. I'm just saying. So what's that look like? For our church, I don't know exactly yet, but I just think some of these Sundays I might do some things that are a little bit different. And I even planned one of them for today, but I'm thinking we might run short on time. Guys, what's the time frame on the meet?
What's the time frame on the meet?
It's a few minutes, yeah, maybe 10 or 15.
Okay, we might have time. Okay, good. All right, guys, I think we have time for this. So to reiterate, We're just doing a trial run there next.
Working for a kid? That's pretty scary. Yeah. Lord, I just
said it. Yeah. We're just going to do a trial run August 5th.
Good.
Some people were missing it. They lost their kid.
Oh. But they found their kid.
Yeah.
So, guys, we're just going to do a trial run August 5th. Now, here's the one. We're mostly just looking at the space. Please don't expect the whole process and how we arrange everything there to be optimized the first time we're there. It's just not going to be optimized. Mm-hmm. But we just want to kind of see, can we like fit in there? Basically. Okay. The optimization and how we maybe arrange chairs or break into groups and all that sort of thing, we'll figure that out with time. Okay. How the projection works, we'll figure that out with time. So we'll just have to be patient on some of those things, but we would just want to see if the space would work for us in terms of size. Questions on that?
Where is it?
325 East 5th Avenue, and I'm going to send out an email this week with all the details.
So it's really close to our current location.
Is it in Italian Village or east of Italian Village?
Just east of Italian Village, probably.
It's like a mile and a half from where we are right now.
Yeah, it's very close, about a mile and a half from our current location on 5th Avenue.
Yeah.
And, yeah, really a neat space. Yes?
And we all went to eat somewhere afterwards, which is not a common thing for us to do. And all three of us said we had, in different ways, we had just, if this is accurate, Brenda, this is how I remember it.
I don't remember.
We had all received from the Lord, it's time to go into a new space now. It's time to go. We just felt like the grace for this place is over. It's time to go. Do you remember that, Brenda?
Yeah, because I was... That was a big deal because I did it once ago. I wasn't one of these that wanted to go.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. So that was right before all of this happened where we were forced to go. God said it's time to go.
Amen.
So, yes. Awesome.
Amen, amen. Okay.
Yes. Yeah, you can just feel a little bit again.
Okay. Oh, it looks like they're serving it up right now. Okay. So here's what I'm going to do. I think that's good for today. What we're going to do next time on August 5th is I've got some scriptures pulled because one of the things that we did as part of this process, again, Brad called me up. He said, what's the purpose of Sunday service? And so he pulled some scriptures. I found another one. We went through the entire New Testament to try to find all the scriptures about main church service that there are to say, what's the point? Now, the reason we wanted to do that is, again, we want to have a space that's catalytic to purpose, not just compatible. You can't have a space that's catalytic to purpose if you don't even know what your purpose is.
Mm-hmm.
Some of these things, you just tend to go through the motions. We just tend to go through the motions. And now we've been going through the motions, but I'm just saying, you tend to go through the motions until you ask the question, like, what is church?
Yeah.
Or what is Sunday service, and why do it? Okay? So I know I promised you guys an interactive thing today, but I want to prioritize us getting to eat. I'll do the interactive thing there next week, I think. And I think that'll be perfect because it's set up for it. And so we'll kind of try the new space and we'll do a little interactive thing. And the study that we're going to do is actually that question. What's the scriptural purpose of Sunday service? So I think it'll be really fun. And so we'll do that next Sunday. And I think that's it. But I'm excited, guys. God's leading us, I really believe. Not because I'm doing, like I said, you don't have to do superhuman jumping jacks to get the lead of the Lord. He wants to lead us. He wants to lead us into what he has. But I think it's a new thing. I think it's an exciting thing. I'm really looking forward to trying out that space on Sunday. Do you have something?
Just a quick practical note. When he's going to give you the information for directions, how to get there and everything, it'll be on the website, etc. But just telling you, when you're driving down Fifth Avenue, the address is going to be 325. So you're looking for 325. All you're going to see is the side of the building with a big address that says 345. So is 345 325? No. So you're going to want to keep driving. But that's actually the building. It's when you turn into that parking lot, then you see 325. It's really lame, mm-hmm. what I'm saying. So Just wanted to make that point so you don't miss it.
And also, I went and checked yesterday to see if there was some grass next to the turn-in, and there's grass on both sides. And so the big Agathos flag signs, you're going to see two of those. One will say welcome and one will say parking, because in this place, it's both. Praise God. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Okay. And when you come, you're going to park at the end of the street in the school parking lot. Walk 200 yards, take a right, go all the way down. There's a door on the side. It's red. That's where you go to our church. Down the stairs. You know, no, this one, it'll just be big signs, and then it'll, you know. So what I do need is I need a couple volunteers. I want one set of people to actually stay until 11:45 at our normal church building. To direct anybody that's like, you know, a visitor that knew where our church was, they know we meet at 11:30, they're not bothering to check anything online, they're not getting the church emails or something, and they show up at 11:32 next Sunday. Okay, that'd be great, to just direct them, and I'll get some maps to you or something so people can see from where I am right now, here's how I get to it. And then I also then need some people to greet at the new space, because again, when people get there, I want them to feel really welcomed the first time that they're in a new space. Carissa, amen. Go ladies. Gentlemen, we'll have a talk later. That's right. Half the men are cooking. I'm kidding. Okay. So yeah, we'll just do those two big signs there, and I think it'll be really self-explanatory where it's at. So trial run next Sunday. Really fun.
I'm excited.
Yeah, really, really fun.
Amen.
And that's the plan.
All right.
All right. Well, Father, we thank you for this food. We ask for your blessing over it in Jesus' name. So, guys, what we'll do the rest of the time, if you haven't been to church in the park, we will eat once the food's ready and then just play games. Okay? All right. Love you all.